conclusions just yet. I think what I'd ask you to do, if you don't mind, is just stand. I'll just read one of these texts. If you turn to the Genesis 3 text, or you can read it from the screen there if you want. I'll read one of these texts, and then we will ask God for his help for the next few minutes to think through what I believe he's given me to share with you, all right? Genesis 3, verses 20 and 21. It says, "The man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins and clothed them." Amen. Father, we humbly bow before you now and seek your help as we investigate these truths of your word, and we confess that unless you lead us, we won't see what you want us to see. Unless you give light, it'll still be hidden from us, even with all of our study and investigation. So, Holy Spirit, come and bring the light of heaven into our time together, and as we look at your word, and guide us into truth. In Jesus' name, every saint that believes said, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. All right, our subject for today is chosen for motherhood. Chosen for motherhood. And I don't need to, it won't be surprising to you to think through some of these initial thoughts, and your eyes are open, just like mine, and you know that motherhood as designed by God is not popular in our society. You just think about it. What's being called motherhood nowadays? And not just when I say our society, this is happening around the world, because sin isn't confined to the United States, and we all know that. Motherhood, along with all, with virtually all of the family values, we've seen them repeatedly and consistently under attack, and so it's being redefined, you see, and redesigned by the world's thinking. Now, you got to follow me here. This is purposeful. This redefining and redesigning of what motherhood is to be, and all of all these. Oh my! I don't even want to mention the kind of stuff that's going on where people are just so perverting what motherhood is supposed to be. But you know it. You live in it just like I do. You see how it's being designed. From the White House to every other house, it's just an effort, to change things, and so as a result, I'm fairly confident that on days like today, many and perhaps most of the sermons that are going to be preached today are in defense of biblical motherhood. You see? Motherhood, now, I mean in churches that honor God, churches that believe the Word of God, churches that hold up the Word of God. Today would be the opportunity to defend contend, as to use Jackie's Ferry's terminology, to contend for God's plan, and to bring encouragement to those mothers who have not compromised in this pressure. It's real pressure. Everybody that's worked on a job or been in any kind of environment, you can be at the gym, you feel pressure, the pressure that the world system brings, you see, for you to be what? Conformed. That's the reason the Bible says, do not be conformed to this world, because that's their plan. But what? Be transformed. And that's the reason we come together. That's the reason you study your Bible. That's the reason we call on the Holy Spirit to help us so that we can be transformed. What? By the renewing. By the renewing of our minds. And so, you know, I'm not going to tell you anything new. You know that. You all been with me almost, some of you, over 30 years. And so you probably heard all that Willie Whitmore has to say. But I'll tell you, like Peter, as long as I got breath, I don't have any problem repeating.
Yes. Amen.
Right? Repeating that which is good and true. Because we all need to be reminded, right? So that we can stand in this dark and perverted and twisted time. And so I thank God for those pulpits that will be defending biblical motherhood and encouraging mothers that have not compromised and guardians and whatever role a woman has stepped into to not allow the world to bring shame because of the sacrifice she's been willing to make and not chase after money or fame or power, you know, all the whole drill. Yeah? And so I will attempt to do the same. And in doing so, I would like to say, once it gets going, it goes. I would like to say that even though I am attempting to encourage mothers and defend God's plan, that this in no way is intended to disparage, demean, or disparage or discourage women that are not mothers, you see? Again, that's a trick of the devil. A trick of the devil to make any of us think that we are in competition with each other, you see? Women that are not mothers, you're not in competition with women that are mothers. It's no different than the body of Christ, right? God clearly says that we've got this amazing variety that he has given in the body. And so it is when it comes to women. Just thank God for the role, you see, that he's given to you. But today, I just want to encourage those who have accepted their role as what? As a mother. We good?
Yeah.
All right. You see, that's my my outline, and you're still kind of scared. You're still probably thinking, well, that still can be an hour and a half, but we're gonna work through it. We're gonna work through it. So let's dig in and see what we can glean as we look at Eve, right? Then I want us to take a look at Mary and then see then how that applies to every mother. All right? That's the roadmap that we're going to take for our time together today. So, as we dig in, then as we we go back to the Genesis 3 text that we looked at, I want to propose to you, first of all, that you're going to see in all three of these situations that God gives favor with grace, you see, to any woman that's going to be a mother. It's going to be favor with grace. And so when we look at this situation here in the Garden of Eden, you remember Eve was the first woman created, yeah? And she was created by grace. And I thought about this a lot this weekend. She was created by grace to receive favor from God. And you might wonder, well, what do you mean by created by grace? Even though Eve, Adam was the first man, yeah? And Eve was the first woman. The first man was going to be named Adam, but he could have been anybody. You understand what I'm saying? It's anybody named Adam. It didn't have to be that particular person that God created. And I don't know if you can kind of get your brains around that. It was that particular, God made that particular person from the dust of the earth, and his name was Adam. Well, the same with Eve. He made a particular woman, and that's the way I want you to get it. It's a woman that he made from his rib, and it's by grace. It wasn't because this was something extraordinary, because obviously she hadn't been born or hadn't been created, in this case. So that's the reason I'm saying it's by grace. So you understand? She's the first woman created by grace to receive God's favor. And though we understand that they are the parents of humanity, it could have been it. I'm trying to get your brain wrapped around that. Is that, in the name Adam could have been any individual, if you follow me. Am I still on? Okay, y'all hear me? Okay. So that's the idea, is that Eve was the first woman created by grace to receive God's favor. Now, when you take that a little further, I want you to see that even after her sin, even after Eve sinned, God's grace and God gave it, and she received God's grace to be a mother. So you go to the text that we read. Now this is after she has sinned, right? After she has sinned, now you look at the text that we read. The man called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. So obviously God could have made her barren and moved on to another woman. You know what I mean? God could have done whatever he wanted to. But he didn't punish Eve in that way. Why? Because it was by grace. And so, you get your mind around this thing and see how wonderful grace is. Why it's so amazing, even in the Garden of Eden, that these two rebels who have sinned against God so grievously and so blatantly, God still, by grace and with his favor, works out his plan through them. You see? So grace and favor doesn't first show up in the New Testament. It's been from the beginning. Been from the beginning. And this is a wonderful thing. So she now has purpose, you see? A purpose that has been defined here in Genesis 3. But the purpose comes with responsibility. And that's always the case. whenever God is doing something in our lives is that when he gives us purpose, that purpose always comes with responsibility. And so Eve was created with a godly purpose that not even Satan, her own sin, or any other thing in the world could change. This purpose was designed by God. Genesis 3:16. God speaking to her now after she has sinned. To the woman he said, that's God speaking, I will multiply your pain in childbirth. In pain you shall bring forth children. What an amazing thing. The first and primary purpose that God establishes for Eve is to what? Be a mother. To bring forth children. And you see, even though this is not her only purpose, and we learn that as you go further in the Bible, it's not her only purpose, it is what? A primary one. Okay? Listen to what I said. I didn't say the, I said what? A primary one. You get a text like Brother Lay read at the beginning of our worship that enumerates so many marvelous ways that the woman's role is lived out. But this is a primary one, and it came with responsibility. And why are you saying that, Brother Willie? Because look at what the world is doing today with motherhood. It's as if women assume that the great victory is won when you have a baby. And then after that, it's like they haven't thought it through. It's just something that I want to celebrate. I had a baby, and in a lot of cases, I had it without a man, you know what I'm saying. All of this redesign is what I'm talking about. But the responsibility is there, you know? And everybody, every mother in here knows how a baby changes everything. Amen. You don't just add a baby. The baby changes, right? Everything. But the world's design is that you just add the baby into your thing. And add the baby into your schedule. And however the baby fits, you see? So you understand what I'm saying is that God's design is that this great plan that he has for motherhood comes with responsibility, right? You know, to nurture the child rather than just form it out for someone else to do, to teach the child. And even when, and I don't want to be too long, but even when you've got auxiliary help with teaching, you see, whether it's the public school or the private school or whatever it is, the parent is responsible for the child what? It's being taught. That's the reason they have teachers' meetings and you have to stay involved. Why? Right? Because you need to know if my child needs to stay here, if my child is being taught what I agree with, you see? And so you can't just assume, even if a child is in, quotes, Christian school, that they're being taught what you agree with. You understand what I'm saying? So it's a responsibility to nurture, to teach, to train. You can't form that out. I mean, they're doing that, but there's responsibility that comes. And that's the reason it's such a wonderful thing to see a mother that makes that sacrifice. Makes that sacrifice. And those of us who certainly at our age group, we can look back and at our mothers and understand that. That was a great sacrifice. Great sacrifice made. We didn't even understand it. We complained a lot, not even understanding what they were sacrificing. When we were sleeping, what they were doing. When we were complaining about the things we were wearing, what they were sacrificing themselves. We complained about the things that we were eating, what they were sacrificing, not eating themselves. So, that's the essence. We see it with Eve, and hopefully you can see it worked out in our world, in our society. And so as we move on to Mary, if you could turn to Luke chapter 1. I want you to see the same pattern in her life as that is favor with grace. And you got Luke chapter 1, verse 26. The reason the sixth month the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." You see it? So you see that the angel Gabriel announced that Mary was the what? The object or the recipient of God's favor. Yeah. Now, by now, you should see what I'm talking about here. That it wasn't because she what? Had earned this great blessing. It wasn't because she earned it. Just like with Eve, it wasn't because she earned it. But she was chosen by grace. Chosen by grace. And what an amazing thing to see that. I know you've read these verses before, but when you think about this, that from the garden to Mary, and we're going to see on with every woman. It's all by grace. You see? It's by grace. And nothing special, nothing because she'd earned it. And you see, even Mary confesses that. Mary knows that she's not worthy, that there's nothing special about her. You look at verse 29 and 30. But she was greatly troubled at this saying, and try to discern what sort of greeting this might be. Why are you calling me highly favored? There's nothing special about me, you see? Just a young teenager, you know, trying to making plans for marriage and from a common family line. And so this is an amazing thing. She was chosen by grace to be the birth mother of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who would be her Savior as well. Now, isn't that extraordinary? Amen. By grace. God could have chosen anyone, but he chose this particular one. That's all that we say. Now, obviously, you know that there are others who have made who've misunderstood this altogether. But it's only by grace. It could have been anybody. Her name didn't have to be Mary, and it didn't have to be this one. But it was. And because of that, you see the wonderful blessing of grace. All right? Excuse me. Okay. So what a wonderful thing. Amen. Chosen by grace to be the birth mother of our Lord Jesus Christ, who would also save her own soul by grace. It's all by grace. It's all by grace. But now, with this great favor and grace and privilege comes what? Responsibility. She's been given a purpose now, but it comes with responsibility. And so, even with Mary's youth, her modesty, her lack of experience and immaturity, God still chose her. Why? Because it's by grace.
Yes, 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 yes. Amen.
Willie, why do you keep saying that? Because you got to see it. You got to see that, yeah, it is amazing grace.
Yes.
Even me. That's what John Newton said. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that what? Saved a soul like what? Me.
Yes.
Me. And so there Mary is. God still chose her. You see verse 31. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Why? Because God has already made up his mind, and you are chosen. And so, the responsibility is worked out in the rest of Luke, and so I don't need to take you through all those verses. You know that Jesus was born in less than circumstances, and yet Mary accepted those lowly circumstances in which her child was born, and she nurtured him. And y'all ever think about that? Jesus was an infant, you know? Just as you held, those of you who've ever held an infant, he was an infant that had to be nurtured and cared for. And she was willing to do that, even though she's young and immature and didn't have the experience to do it. She did it. She stepped up to the challenge. Why? Because God chose me. I'm not going to run from it. I'm not going to give him away. There's a whole lot I don't know. You know what I'm saying. I mean, think of what she doesn't know. But if God chose me to be a mother, what? I'll be a mother. You're following this? So what grace does for you. Grace enables you to do what you wouldn't normally do.
Yes.
That's the whole idea of grace. Again, and it's just you got to think about, every one of us has a mother, and you have to think about that, the grace that was on your own mother. The lack of education and all the disadvantages. But she didn't run.
Amen.
She decided to stay because of you. And so that's Mary, and let me try to move on, look at every mother. And so if you could find Psalm 113. Psalm 113 and verse 9. I want you to see the same pattern here for every mother. Eve, like Eve and Mary, every mother has found favor with the Lord, because motherhood is never earned or warranted. Never. So, you see, no mother has anything to boast about in that regard, because it's never earned. Y'all got it? Verse 9. He gives the barren woman a home, making her the joyous mother of children. What? Praise the Lord. Why? Because he did it. And when you know he did it, you know he deserves all the praise. I'm trying here, y'all. When you know he did it, you know he deserves all the praise. Making her the joyous mother. Praise the Lord. And so every mother is greatly blessed, because every child is a gift. And a great blessing, as Psalm 127 would say, right? Yeah. Blessed if you're, you know, when your quiver is full, a child is a great, is an inheritance, right? It's a gift from the Lord. It's a gift, it's a gift, it's a gift. So you all got the pattern by now. And I'm probably not going to be able to dig deeper anyway right now. And so with it comes responsibility. Eve and Mary, every mother has responsibility after a child is born to nurture and teach and train. You all know the verses. Train up a child, what? In the way it should go. And then the Proverbs will say, a son, obey your father's instruction, obey your mother's what? Teaching. And when you look at Timothy, and the thing about Timothy is that he was trained and taught by his grandmother and his mother, yes? And you see the role of now extended beyond the mother to the grandmother, you see? And it's still grace. It's still grace. It's still grace. What a wonderful thing. Young Christian mothers may not understand their responsibility, so older women ought to teach them these responsibilities, right? Titus 2, 3, 4, and 5. Yes? Younger women may not understand, so the older women who've had the experience, the Bible instructs the older women to teach the younger women. Mm-hmm. This is not something you go to school to learn. God said you learn this from an older woman, a woman who's been through it. A woman who understands the sacrifices that need to be made. an older woman who understands what's wrong when a baby won't stop crying. An older woman who understands what you need to do when they won't sleep. And you've been through all of that. As the younger women are just desperate because they don't know. But the older women are to teach. Because the younger women still have the responsibility. And see, it's not the younger women, it doesn't mean that you take your child and you just dump it on the grandmother or the grandfather, you see? And I'm not being crass, grandparents want to be involved, but all of us know situations where someone has a baby and they basically expect what? The grandparents to raise it. Yes? But so that's not the point here. Mothers accept the responsibilities even when grandmothers and grandfathers are what? Are involved. And so, I don't know, there we go. And so all Christian mothers are to accept these great responsibilities with joy and thanksgiving. Why? Because it's a gift, it's by grace. Any gift from God is to be treasured, not trashed. Any gift from God is to be celebrated, not compromised. Any gift from God is to be spoken highly of and not despised. Any gift from God is to be remembered and honored and praised and cared for. So it should be with motherhood. So it should be with motherhood, which is a what? Gift from God. Any favor that a mother has, any grace that a mother has, any purpose given to a mother, any responsibility from Eve to this present day is because of Jesus Christ. He's the one that stands as the great mediator between God and man. So that grace can flow from heaven down to the one who couldn't make it without it. The mediator was there in the garden. It's the reason God didn't kill Adam and Eve. The mediator was there. Because God had already told them, the day that you eat of the tree, you're going to what? You're going to die. Why didn't they die physically? Because the mediator was there.
Yes.
Mary was a sinner just like every other woman. How could she be chosen? Because of the mediator. Because of Jesus. Any mother today, that's a mother. Why? Because of the mediator. Because Jesus stands so that the grace can flow from heaven down to every mother. Every gift, every blessing we have is because of him. Yeah? Mm. There it is. All right. See there? 1 hour and a half. So, motherhood is not reserved for women who have lived a pristine and righteous life above other women. That's what I've been trying to communicate to you. Motherhood is not reserved for women born in the ideal family, with ideal parents, with both parents and in that ideal situation. Motherhood isn't reserved for women born in neighborhoods without crime. It's not reserved for women for women that are educated and women that are isolated, women that are healthy and wealthy, women that are independent and youthful. No, motherhood isn't reserved for them. Women, motherhood isn't deserved for women who got it all together. Motherhood is designed for all types of women. It's a gift from God given by grace to women of His choosing. That's the reason I said chosen for motherhood. Women of His choosing. Not on the basis of warrant or accomplishment. He graciously gives motherhood to the undeserving, the unsuspecting, the unexpecting woman. Sometimes to a very young woman. Sometimes to a very elderly woman. Sometimes to a sick woman. Sometimes to a desperate woman who's trying for years, and He still gives motherhood. Sometimes to a woman who already has several children. Sometimes to a woman who has limitations physically or mentally. Sometimes to a poor woman, or sometimes to a wealthy woman. See? Sometimes to a woman who is uneducated, or sometimes to a woman who is well educated. Sometimes to a woman who's tall, or a woman who's short, or a woman who's overweight, a woman who's underweight, a woman who... You see? Sometimes to a woman who has abused her body in awful ways. Why? Because of grace. Because of grace. You must see that motherhood is given on the basis of grace and with the favor of God, so that no mother can boast. But every mother, every mother should have reasons to be grateful and praise the Lord. See? That's the reason Psalm 113:9, after speaking of God making her a joyous mother, says what? Praise the Lord! Yes. Every mother has reason to praise. Praise the Lord. So mothers, praise the Lord today. Praise the Lord today and give thanks to the Lord Jesus Christ, for He is good. His mercies endure forever, and His faithfulness to all generations. Yes. Mothers, praise the Lord today, for He's been good to you. Thank God. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank God. And if you're not a Christian today, you were born by your mother at the beginning of your life, but if you want to be born again by your father, you got to come to Christ. You see, we've been talking about motherhood. That's just one phase. That lasts for this life. If you want to live again and have eternal life, you got to be born by your Father. Yes. In heaven. Amen. And if you, if someone on Zoom, if you don't know Him, I'm telling you, come to Christ. Yeah. And then you'll understand what it means to be born again. Father, I want to thank you for these few minutes that we spent together, and